If you've just joined us, we are with our guest, Dr. Charles Pritchard, and he's just mentioned earlier that I don't have to call him doctor. However, we have to actually respect you and, yes, give you that acknowledgement. Now, doctor, in your terms, how would you define marriage?
It's a coming together of a man and a woman that God created man, and he also created woman, and for us to be together, and we join in union with God, and we have children, and if God grants that gift to us, and there's a certain sort of part of God's plan in terms of the marriage and the family, very important. We have the Holy Family of Nazareth, and I think that's the perfect example for us as to what we should be doing and how we should be conducting ourselves in marriage.
Absolutely. Now, taking us to this day and age, how does, or rather, how do we as married people portray ourselves to the world and set an example similar to that of the Holy Family?
Well, I think first and foremost, we've got to put God at the center of it. Mm-hmm. And we invite him into our homes. We consecrate our families, our homes to him. And we set the example. We live the way Jesus has taught us to live. I think Joseph is the perfect role model, Saint Joseph, the perfect role model for men. Mm-hmm. And Mother Mary, the perfect role model
For
the mothers.
Yes.
And the children, they can look at Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful way of putting it. We are faced with very difficult times. We find that due to, I guess, different cultures, Western culture, we become very confused. We end up not knowing, yes, as much as we are Christian, as much as we're Catholic, we tend to think that the Holy Family is very backward.
No. Look, I think who brings the confusion is the evil one. So his number one strategy is to break up marriages, mm-hmm, and to break up the church.
Oh, yes.
So wherever there's a confusion, that's where evil is. So, mm-hmm, God made it very clear how we should conduct ourselves, how we should behave, how we should be loving, forgiving, kind, gentle, patient, modest, all those wonderful gifts and fruits from the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And if we all stick to the way he teaches, it's actually not a very complicated thing, and marriages will be filled with God's
flourish.
Love and peace.
Yes, yes.
But
no,
but we want to do our own thing.
Absolutely.
You see, so we often want to go against what God is teaching because we think it's outdated. In the meantime, God's word never changes, and sin, the nature of sin, never changes.
Mm.
So we there's no such thing as changing with the times. I think it's a little bit of a misconception.
Yes, yeah. Because as I was sharing with you earlier, our country, South Africa, is faced with a very high divorce rate, and it's not actually going on a decline, it's on the increase. And what words of encouragement or what messages do you have from God, from our mother, from Jesus, in terms of what's currently happening, what we're currently faced with in marriages, in our families? Families are actually breaking apart.
Yeah, so look, so as I say, divorce is the work of the enemy, and people, you know, when they go and they get married in the church at Jesus's altar, they do say for better or for worse.
Absolutely.
So we make a covenant.
Mm.
So why are we making that covenant if we can't stick to it? You know, so I think a lot of it's all, everything, this divorce, the conflicts in the world, whatever, all this turmoil in the world, it's all as a result of sin. So people don't want to stick to their word.
Mm.
They don't want to be loving. They don't want to be gentle. They want to be selfish and this and that. And I think that's where it allows the evil to come in. So wherever there's sin, the evil comes in, brings the confusion. And then we sometimes think black is white when it's actually not.
Because I read somewhere that love is actually not receiving, but love is actually giving.
Yes, yeah, so it's all about sacrificial love.
Absolutely.
So that's what Jesus teaches us. So life is about sacrificial love. There's, I think it's in Corinthians, I forget the exact verse, but it says love is gentle, love is kind, love is not jealous, oh, yes. love is patient, mm-hmm. and, you know, all those wonderful things. And yes. I think that's a good thing to meditate on. Get those scriptures. Maybe we should get it and read it.
We should.
And we meditate on those words and try and live those words.
And strange enough, those are the very scriptures that are read at most weddings. But once yeah. we are married and are now into married lives, we actually forget those very scriptures, those words, even the vows themselves.
Yeah, and I think what happens is because we live in close confines, and I do believe whenever if God goes adrift in the marriage, you know, you start off and you do it at Jesus' church, but then you kind of, that's about the last time you go to the church. Or, mm-hmm. you know, so wherever Jesus isn't, the Holy Spirit, the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit are going to start getting chiseled away.
Oh, yeah.
And the chaos is going to come in the marriage. So it's a slow, gentle chiseling away of our purity, of the love that we had in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And couple is not weary of that chiseling.
Yeah, it's
as
a
it
slow
happens.
Chiseling. It's this accumulative effect of sin. So if we're not going to confession, you know, people say they're having a midlife crisis. It's not all a midlife crisis is it's an accumulation of unconfessed sin.
But it makes sense. It really makes sense because, as you say, we get married in front of the altar at the church,
yes.
and thereafter we vanish, we disappear, get back to the church once we have a baby that we want to baptize.
That's right.
After that, we disappear. It's that, you know, we keep going
back. The odd funeral.
Absolutely, yes. And during the times you're not at church, that's where the enemy actually can come
that's
in.
It. So he wants us to get lost in the world, you know, in our own vanities and our own, to have worldly eyes, but and to look at the world with his eyes, not with the eyes of Jesus.
Hmm.
So when you look at it with the eyes of Jesus and people are hurting us, what does Jesus say?
Mm.
He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. He does that did that on the cross. You know, under the most horrendous abuse and foul language and physical pain. But what do we do when things go wrong in our marriage?
Push back.
Yeah, we end up in quarreling.
Absolutely.
So the one that makes a mistake, the other one fights back. And then who's having the last laugh?
Mm.
It's the devil.
Hmm. What advice would you give, Doctor, at the moment, to someone that's currently listening who's going through problems in their marriages? How would you then guide and advise them to live as per Jesus and be able to become or to be similar to him and not be the human being that, you know, we currently are? When you have pain afflicted to you, you want to actually also cause pain to the other person.
Yeah, so whenever we have people, couples coming to us, usually the one or both of them together, or we always try and encourage them, sort yourself out first. Go for God. Love God first and foremost. That's what his commandment is. So don't try and expect a godly love from another person. Go for God. God will fill that void in your heart that you think the other person's going to fill. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Go for him. He'll bring you the peace, the love, the joy, the calm, all that stuff. And then you will be able to love sacrificially the other. You know what I mean? And then the more the other, in fact, if your partner gives you a hard time and you're loving like Jesus,
mm-hmm.
your reward in heaven's going to be bigger because now you're carrying a bigger cross.
Mm.
And your love and your prayers for the other person will then bring the other person to conversion.
I was about to say that once they see you converted and react differently, they actually would join in.
Yes. So if you become blameless in front of the Lord and in front of your partner, so let's say they start accusing you of stuff you didn't do, and you just keep quiet and you bless them and you keep your peace, eventually they're going to feel guilty. Because you're also praying for them, so you're going to water those dry fields with your prayers.
Absolutely.
And then eventually the person's going to, the Holy Spirit will convict the person to realize actually the error is on their side, not on your side. You know what I mean?
So the key ingredient here is God.
That's it.
That everyone must just turn to God.
Yes, and then he gives us the tools to that we can use, the sacraments, confession, the body of Christ in Holy Mass, the Holy Rosary that we should pray as a family.
Yes.
And he gives us lots of wonderful prayers that we can pray, and we can enthrone our homes. We can do all sorts of things. We do that, and then you'll see God's peace come into the home.
Very interesting. And that was Dr. Charles Pritchard. You're listening to Changing Gear. Should you wish to call in if you have any problems, you can actually be, you can call us as anonymous or just call in. You can just call us on 011-452-7115, 011-452-7115. We'll be back with you right after the song. Welcome back to Changing Gear. This is Mahadi Buthelezi with our guest, Dr. Charles Pritchard. We are talking marriage, we are talking parenting, we are talking challenges that we are faced with in marriage. We will be also discussing challenges that we are faced with as parents, and also we'll be giving you an opportunity to call in, make inquiries, and ask any form of question that you'd like to ask Dr. Pritchard. As he said earlier, feel free to ask anything around marriages, around parenting. And Dr. Pritchard, you have a message for us.
Yes, just around Fernanda went to a wedding, and then Jesus just gave a comment that evening. I can read that for you if you like.
Please do.
We thank you for today, for this peaceful day in harmony, peace and love, as you and my children, your loved ones, sisters and brothers, came to my children's wedding. I bless this marriage. I was there present. I thank these, my children, to come forward and get married in front of my altar. Yes, many of my children today, they prefer to live together. This is not in my teachings. The sacrament of marriage is very important in my children's lives. My children living together, it is a common thing for them, but heaven has my teachings. Today in this modern world, my children change the laws for themselves, for their convenience, as they feel comfortable. I bless marriages that come to my altar. My son priest, he is the representative, but I, their Jesus, I am the one who blesses the sacrament of their marriage. Oh, the past was very much more in obedience to me, their Jesus Christ, living in chastity and being virgins until the day of their wedding vows. But I, their Jesus, forgive them when they amend and confess these sins. I thank all of these, my children, who still respect my teachings.
Hmm.
So that's...
That's the message.
That's the message. Yeah, I think often people want to, as we were discussing, try before they buy, which actually... we shouldn't be looking at people like that first and foremost. And Saint Joseph and Mother Mary lived a chaste life, and they had a beautiful marriage. And we don't want to break that purity of love with a demon of lust when one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is chastity. So often it clouds our judgment before we get married, and then we end up with somebody that we realize, hang on, what are we doing here? You know, because you were looking lustfully at the person instead of in purity of love.
And by the time they actually get married, it may be a bit too late.
Yes, so we often go in it for the wrong reasons.
Yes. What type of reasons are out there in terms of getting married for the wrong reasons? I know at times people get married because they're aging, or family is pressurizing them, or because the other person has money, or it's a career move, you know.
I think it's got to be pure love.
Only love.
So we must want to be with the person and...
the person that we love.
Yes, yeah. And you must want to have children with them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and Jesus says you must marry someone that's equally yoked as well. So you're looking for trouble if you marry someone who's not on the same page when it comes to their faith.
Oh, yes.
You know, and that's often where a lot of the marriages break up. Because in the beginning, it's fine, we'll survive, whatever. But then when it comes down to the crunch, and you've got children, and how are you going to bring up the children, and this and this, then the evil starts to come in. and it causes chaos.
Yes, I completely agree with that, because when it comes, as an example, say for instance, you've just gotten married and you'd like now to have a family prayer. Say for, just before supper or after supper, you'd like to say the rosary, and you find that the one person's just not interested, they're not keen. And at times you already have children and you'd like to teach your children how to pray.
Yes.
And you find that the other person is just not keen. And you need actually as a parent to set an example and be a good example for them.
Yes. So look, I think you must take it when before you get married, make sure you've got someone who's equally yoked.
Mm.
If now you are married and you come into the way of Jesus, because we don't always start on the right. We don't have the right start always. Then, and you find your partner doesn't want to do the rosary and you want to do the rosary, then you do the rosary and lead the children in gently. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yes, that might be hit with resistance, and that disunity causes problems.
Absolutely.
In the home, and then the children suffer, and maybe there's fighting and quarreling, and then the children get anxious and fear, and you know what I mean. And so, yeah, we've got to focus on bringing Jesus into the home. But if you do pray the rosary a day, it will keep the devil away. He might give a little fight, but eventually he'll go.
Yes, and I've actually... in most cases, there's always messages from Pope Francis where he constantly says that the family is under attack.
Yes.
And the attack begins with marriages.
Yes, and family is the social fiber of society. So the whole of society falls on families, actually. You know, you go to school, a little child, he goes to school and he's got to have a mommy and a daddy. It's a natural thing. You want a mommy and a daddy. And then they feel a little bit, well,
secure.
I don't really have my... Yes, they don't have that security when it's not the case. And when, who's the father and this and this and this. You know, it gets... It's not fair on the little ones.
That's
as
true.
Well.
Mm. Now, when we talk about parenting, we'll be opening our phone lines just at around 4:45. Parenting, Dr. Pritchard, what would you like to say to our listeners regarding parenting? What advice would you like to give to them?
I think first and foremost, you got to set the right example. So a parent, if you've got a difficult partner, you be the saint. You know what I mean? So let's, for argument's sake, say one of them is drinking and doing whatever they want to do.
Or drugs.
Yes. Now, and what you need to do then is just go the way of Jesus, be calm, be gentle, be patient, love the person through it, teach the children, say, look, daddy or mommy's sick, we must pray for them, set the example, you know what I mean? Running away from is not going to, it's going to make the kids worse off. So they need that, they need someone to anchor the marriage, you know what I mean? And then you'll see, maybe even after the person's died or whatever, those fruits will, the family will bear fruits.
They'll carry the family torch.
Because it sets a perfect example, and they'll always look up to the one that actually did the right thing. We know in our hearts what's the right thing. We've all got the Holy Spirit in us. So the Holy Spirit will show you mommy or daddy did the right thing there, and that was, and then the next generation will not divorce. But if you go and you do the divorce thing and this and this and this, then you're just cursing yourself, and that will go down
damage
to the future generations. You know, we get cursed four generations down, so those sins perpetuate.
Then we have to now look into the generational curses.
Yes, yes. So we want to break those generational curses.
Mm.
So what we need to do is pray for the deceased, and we need to go the way of Jesus and stop it. And bless our future generations. We can. We got the sacraments. We got confession. We got the body of Christ. We got the Bible. It's all there. We just need to make an effort. And then we can bless our children going forward.
And make use of it. And talking about praying and also breaking those generational curses, tomorrow we are celebrating All Souls.
Yes.
Yes. What advice in terms of prayers can you give that couples and parents can, what prayers can they say tomorrow especially?
First and foremost, offer Mass up for the deceased in your family. And then the rosary is the second most powerful that you can offer for the deceased. Divine mercy is also very, very useful. It brings them a lot of alleviation. Now, if they are in heaven already, it doesn't matter. The graces will go to someone else.
Yes.
And what they will do is they will start praying for you fervently, because they can't pray for themselves in eternity, in purgatory.
Yes.
But they can pray for you. Okay. And then by praying for the dead, which I would recommend, pray for your family and others that need that need prayers, the abandoned souls. They will be praying for you, and they will also ask them to pray for your petitions. So you can build a whole army of prayer warriors up there in eternity, and they will bring blessings. Those their prayers will bring blessings to your family. So you're getting a double hit here.
Okay.
You're praying for the dead in your family,
yes,
and other abandoned souls that no one's praying for. They will pray for you, and we've received in the message, one of the messages, until you enter heaven, they will be praying for you.
Wow.
And for your petitions. You know, so often what we do is we advise people, they come to us and, oh, they got these issues and this job and this. We say, okay, do a 9-day novena for the souls in purgatory, and ask them your petition. You know, and it's, you know, things happen.
This, you know, you are making it sound so simple. It's actually not difficult. It's just to pray.
Yes, we're all part of the body of Christ, you see. And what we must do is invoke the saints in heaven to help us as well, to pray for us. Those souls in purgatory need our prayers. And the people on earth need our prayers. So we need to pray for our family. If you've got someone who's got issues and is, you know, got evil spirits in him or whatever, don't run away from it. Don't fight back. You don't feed the lion. Pray for the person, and that's how you kick the devil out of your family. You know, but you got to be patient. You got to be like Jesus. You know, those people on the cross. When
don't
Jesus was on the cross, what did he do? He just he forgave and everything. Only after he was crucified, a lot of them would have got on their knees and realized what they'd done and how wrong they were, and that would have converted a lot of people.
Absolutely.
But if he went about there pointing fingers, shouting, cursing, nothing would have happened. They would have laughed, yeah, he deserved it, and we wouldn't be saved.
Absolutely, no, that's correct. We are with Dr. Charles Pritchard, and we're talking marriage, we're talking parenting, and Dr. Pritchard will also give us some guidelines in terms of how to go about making sure that your marriage is filled with love. Am I correct? And we are faced with such a high divorce rate in our country, and also on parenting, how, as you said earlier, the guidelines of being a good parent or guidelines of being good parents. We will be opening our lines just now, and our line, our contact number is 011-452-7115.